Thanks for joining us here at the Bridge Church VA Online. To listen to previous messages, join a small group, or support this ministry financially, download our app in your iPhone or Android App Store, or visit us online at www.thebridgechurchva.com. We hope this week's message speaks to you in a new way, and hope to see you soon.
That's why this week is called Passion Week. That's why Mel Gibson called his movie The Passion of the Christ, which is an amazing movie, and every time I see it, it brings me to tears, because it just gives us a small glimpse into the sacrifice that Jesus made. Well, one of the things that I want to talk about as we talk about Palm Sunday today is this whole idea to prepare us going into Easter. I want to make sure that we have an outward focus going into this week, because a lot of times we can approach Easter from a very self-centered perspective, right? It's easy to kind of go into Easter like, man, what am I going to wear next Sunday? Not saying that's important. Get your fresh outfit. Get your hair did. Get all that. Go get some new hair. I don't know. I mean, go all out. Jesus had new clothes. You get some. Right? But if we're not careful, we can make it more about us than make more about Jesus. And we can make it more about us more than the mission of Jesus. Jesus says in Luke 19:10, I came to seek and to save the lost. Passion Week encapsulates that. And so I want us as a church to make sure this week in particular that we have more of an outward focus than we ever had before. What do I mean by that? That we are not thinking about ourselves, but we're thinking about others. Like even when you look around and you see some of these empty chairs, my hope is that in our new location next week, there's not a single empty chair in that building next Sunday. And not just that Sunday, but for the Sunday after and for the Sunday after, because we as the people of God have an outward perspective where we're looking for those who don't know Jesus. I want us to be that type of church, but especially this week, I want us to wrap our hearts around that. So I want to preach from Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. This text is Jesus coming into Jerusalem, Palm Sunday, if you will. It says this, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey. Somebody say donkey. A donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle, and riding on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Verse 6, the disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees, palm branches, and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him, and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. And when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? Then the crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. For a moment, I want to preach a message that you guys will probably love because it connects with the very heart and the name of our church. I want to preach a message called, Be a Bridge. Tell the person beside you, be a bridge. Find another person that was the second option, the not so good option. I'm playing. And say, be a bridge. Be a bridge. You know, one of the things that we think about when we think about a bridge is how a bridge connects things from one place to the next. And if you lived in Hampton Roads for any time, especially, you will notice the vast amount of bridges and even tunnels that are in our community. And in case you don't know anything about that, I got a few pics that I want to show you. This picture, matter of fact, I'll show this picture first. Go to a different picture, bro. Let's start here. This picture right here is in Chesapeake, known as the High Rise Bridge. How many of you guys have ever crossed that? Suicide. They have the worst traffic jams in history, right? But it's interesting because you kind of see the location of this bridge, and it connects two different bodies of land to each other across water. Then we got another bridge. I think it's the bridge of the Hampton Roads Bridge Tunnel from hell. I say that because I've driven that bridge plenty of times. It's backed up so many times, I've lost count. I've been on that tunnel plenty of times and got right to the edge of the tunnel thinking I'm about to go through, and all of a sudden they're waving stop. Why? Only to find out an hour later they were cleaning the lights. Really? How many of you guys ever had that happen? Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all traveled this thing. But there is no other bridge in the state of Virginia, maybe in the world, that I believe you have to be crazy to drive. And it's a picture that I got up here of the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel. Now, I don't know what person heard from Satan to build this type of bridge. This bridge, I did my homework, stretches out about 24 miles over nothing water. Who thinks of this? Whose grand idea was this? I don't know about y'all. I've driven that thing. I tell her area all the time when she's talking about, like, we go out of town and, oh, yeah, we can just, no, we're not. Absolutely not. In Jesus' name. Send that thing back to the gates of hell where it came from. We are not going there. All that swaying and rocking, rocking and swaying. A little bit of wind, all of a sudden the bridge is going to start moving. That's not God. Come on, somebody. Can I get an amen? Who wants to be driving on the bridge and all of a sudden you feel that thing swaying? It's supposed to be swaying. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But nonetheless, no matter how interesting these different types of bridges and tunnels look, they all serve one purpose: to connect. No matter how deadly they look, they connect. The purpose of a bridge is to connect one thing to the next. It's to really help you to get somewhere. And here this passage is interesting because as we're reading about Jesus entering into Jerusalem, we see this very concept of a bridge play out in a multiple of ways. Number one, you see a way taking place with Jesus himself. As Jesus is preparing to enter into Jerusalem, the place where he'll soon be tried as a criminal, though he committed no crime, he would be flogged, he would be whipped, he would be crucified, and he would die. He did all this so that way you and I could gain entry into the family of God through faith in him. In other words, Jesus is a type of bridge. Jesus is the bridge. You want to know why we named our church the Bridge Church? Because of Jesus. Because Jesus is the way for us to be into the family of God. He is the one who connects us to God. This is why he says in John 14, it says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Key word, I am the way. I am the path. In other words, there is no other way. It's only through Jesus that we come into relationship with God the Father. In other words, Jesus is the bridge for us to experience life. He is the one who connects us to the family of God. We see that happening here in this passage. We see Jesus at work here preparing to enter into Jerusalem to usher us into the very presence of God. But not only do you see Jesus functioning as a bridge, because he is the great bridge. Well, before Chesapeake came up with the name Great Bridge, Jesus was the great bridge. He was the great bridge to transition us to the family of God. But not only do you see Jesus functioning as the bridge, you also see something and someone else here in this passage of Scripture that functions as a bridge. And you probably don't even recognize it. You may not even see it. But this particular thing plays a major role in Jesus getting connected to where he needs to go. And in this story, that particular thing is the donkey. Now, I know you didn't plan on coming to church this morning to hear me preach about a donkey. And trust me, all I mean is I'm preaching about Jesus. But we can't preach about this story without talking about the donkey. And it's interesting because when we think about a donkey, you don't think about this glorious animal. Matter of fact, you may kind of think of a few different characters. You see this particular donkey, and, you know, it kind of looks nice and cute and cuddly, but oftentimes donkeys aren't considered to be the most glamorous of animals. So in pop culture or in culture, in time, we got a few different types of donkeys that some of you guys may be familiar with. You got Donkey from Shrek. I'm going to tell you how much they think of him. He even got a name. His name is Donkey. He's like the only character in the movie that does not have a name. What's your name? Donkey. No, what's your name, bro? Donkey. Pretty bad, right? And then we have something that many of you guys are familiar with from Winnie the Pooh. Eeyore. That good old historic donkey who would just mope around. Woe is me. Life is bad. Nobody cares about me. You just mope around. Can I give us a quick tip when it comes to relationships? Please don't be an Eeyore. Look, like, nobody wants to be around an Eeyore. Like, nobody just wants to be around somebody all the time who's complaining about stuff. But Eeyore had this very low countenance about himself. He had a low self-esteem. But it really gives us a picture of how people see donkeys. Donkeys are considered to be the most glorious of animals. And so the question that we ask here in this text is, what value does a donkey have here? What value does a donkey bring to this story here in Matthew chapter 21? Because they're not the most glamorous of animals. You know, it's not something that everybody's lining up at Virginia Zoo. Oh, I can't wait to go see the donkey today. Nobody goes to the zoo. Nobody goes to the petting zoo and says, I want to go see a donkey, mommy. Nobody just voluntarily says that. So what's so significant about the donkey? It's interesting because though the donkey has little value in the eyes of people, in the eyes of Jesus, this donkey has much value. This donkey has great value. The donkey essentially becomes like a bridge to help Jesus get to Jerusalem, which helps us to understand something very, very powerful. God will use anything and anyone to accomplish his purpose. If God can use a donkey, if God can use an animal, surely he can use you, who he's created in his likeness and in his image, to accomplish something great. Come on, y'all. If he can use a donkey, he can surely use you. And please don't think for one second I'm calling you a donkey. I'm trying to help you see that if he can use something as small and as insignificant in the eyes of the world, then surely he can use you, who has even greater value than a donkey. There's something great that God wants to do in your life. If he can use this, he can also use you. Tell the person beside you, he can use you. He's got a purpose for you. Matter of fact, he not only can use you, he wants to use you. He wants to use you and I to help people see his love, to help people see his kindness, to help people see his grace. He has strategically placed you on your job, in your community, for you to make a difference. He has strategically called you for such a time as this, so that way you can impact other people for his kingdom, so that other people can come into the family of God. Somebody say, be a bridge. This donkey is functioning like a bridge in this story, and he also wants us to function like a bridge. Now, it's interesting because here in this passage of scripture, we see this whole thing playing out with Jesus and his interaction with the donkey. And you probably didn't even think that we could learn some principles from this experience with the donkey. But I believe that there's some powerful truths that we see happening here in this passage that we can learn from this donkey. Number one, here's this. Being a bridge, based upon what we see here with the donkey, is about availability. It's about availability. If you notice here in this passage of scripture, Jesus calls a few of his disciples to him, and he says, y'all, I want you guys to go into the town. Go ahead, and what will happen is you will see a donkey tied next to a particular place with her colt. So you got a donkey, the other, and then her young child, the colt. And he says, I want you to go there, and what I want you to do is I want you to go untie it, and I want you to bring it here. And if anybody asks you why you're doing this, tell them these words. Tell them that the Lord has need for it. Can I let you know and encourage you today that the Lord has need for your life? That the Lord has something amazing that he wants to do through your life, but it all starts with availability. Notice that the donkey was in place when Jesus sent the disciples to go get the donkey. It wasn't like Jesus sent the disciples and all of a sudden they're like, hey, where's the donkey? No, the donkey was exactly where Jesus expected it to be, which speaks to readability and availability. Look at what verses 6 through 7 says. It says, the disciples went and did as Jesus instructed them. They brought the donkey, which means they found the donkey where it was supposed to be. The donkey was available. Now, the text doesn't tell us how long the donkey was there. The text doesn't tell us how short of a while the donkey was there. All we know is that the donkey was where it was supposed to be. The donkey was available when Jesus needed it. And the question I want to ask us today is, are you positioning yourself to be available to be used by God? Are you in place? Am I in place to be used by God? I told you we can learn some powerful truths from the donkey. You ain't think donkey from Shrek could teach you something, huh? He would say, I'm going to learn you something. I ain't going to teach you something. I'm going to learn you something. A good old English. No. The donkey teaches us something about availability. One of the things that happened recently, I was at the basketball court. I played ball on Wednesdays with a few different guys at the church here in Hampton just to connect with guys. Most of them don't know Jesus. So it's a great opportunity for me to be able just to connect with them and build a relationship with them. in particular. I was playing on the team with this young dude who's in high school. He's a senior in high school, and I just kind of felt pressed to just kind of connect with him and even to invite him to church on Easter Sunday. I was like, hey, man, what are you doing on Easter Sunday? He was like, man, I don't think I'm doing anything. I was like, man, I want to invite you to our church service, man. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be lit. His eyes lit up. I'm like, for real? He's like, yeah, bro, you're going to love it. You ain't got to dress up. Be who you are. And he said this. He said, man, Pastor Edwin, honestly, I haven't been to church since my mother died. And immediately my heart began to sink. Because when he told me that his mom died, this dude was only 17. He said his mom died 5 years prior to that, which means he was 12 years old when he lost his mom. Can you imagine the pain that he was feeling? And he said, from that point on, I never really went back to church, and I got in a lot of trouble, and I kind of went down the wrong path. He said, things are a little bit better now, but I still feel that gaping hole, and I still feel like, man, I would love just to talk to my mom. And I was like, hey, bro, I'm going to let you know something, man, that even in the midst of what's happened, God is for you. That God is with you. Now, who would have thought that a deep conversation would have taken place simply by playing basketball? Y'all heard me talk plenty of times, man. I'm going to give you two things on the court. Jumpers and Jesus. Come on, Rock. Tell them, Rock. That's how we do out here. Jumpers and Jesus. I'm going to give you this L right quick, and then I'm going to sit you down and give you the gospel. Ain't that how we do, Rock? Ain't that how we do? That's what we do. But God helped me to see something even more powerful that day. That, hey, man, I don't want you just to be available on your own time. I want you to be available all the time. I want you to be in place all the time. So we exchanged numbers. We started to text each other, and we were sending text messages all throughout the rest of the evening. And I even gave him one of the digital invite cards or the actual invite card that you guys have right there just to invite him. He was like, man, you know what? I'm coming to church on Sunday. 17 years old, hasn't been to church in years after a tragedy, but simply because somebody was available for God to use. Now, all of a sudden, he's turning back. And even this past Wednesday, we were talking and we started talking more about it. I immediately began to see how God is continuing to work in his life. Who in your life right now is God calling you to be available for you to be used by God to reach? Who right now? Are you available to Jesus? Let me say it like this. When Jesus isn't the priority of your life, you will make yourself available to anything and everything else but him. Matter of fact, I'll say it like this. It's hard to be available to be used by God when you allow everything else to use you up. Y'all remember back in the day when you would like call somebody? Like back in the day. When you would call somebody and like you call them and it wouldn't ring, but it give you this sound right here. Y'all remember that? Y'all remember that busy signal? I don't know about you. Sometimes that made me frustrated. So, man, I had an important conversation to have with you, and all I hear here is that, a busy signal. Could it be that part of the reason why you're not fulfilled in your life is because God is trying to call you, but he's getting a busy signal in your life? Where you're busy with everything else except the plan and purposes of God. Where you've made yourself available to everything else except God. Do you really think that the job you got is just so you can get a check? No, it's so you can be a witness. Do you really think that the neighborhoods you live in is just simply so that way you can have a nice home and you can continue to grow and add wealth? No, it's about God's will being done. Because there's people in your neighborhood who don't know Jesus. A few years ago, when we were playing at the church, man, we kind of did some more homework and research on the city of Hampton. We found that the city of Hampton, about 60% of Hampton does not know Jesus. Though about 70% of Hampton goes to church. Do you see the dichotomy here? God has strategically placed you and I in positions to be used. But the question is, are we available? God doesn't call us just to make one part of our lives available to him. He wants to use all of our lives, every aspect of us, to be used. And why should we make ourselves available to Jesus? Some of you guys may be thinking that right now. Why does Jesus deserve all of that? Because he gave all of himself for you on the cross. So when it comes down to me making myself available, I'm simply doing and responding to Jesus the way he actually made himself available to me. I'm thankful that Jesus didn't get on the cross and say, I'm only going to give 10% of my blood. I'm so glad that that, Jesus said, you know what? I've been whipped enough. I ain't going to go to the cross. No. He made himself available. This donkey shows us something powerful about that. This donkey was able to be used by Jesus because it was in place and it was where it needed to be when Jesus needed it. Are you where Jesus needs you to be used by Jesus? What's also interesting about this is note that King Jesus decides not to ride on a chariot. Now, I don't know about y'all, these people are throwing a parade for him. Like it's like the Golden State Warriors won a championship. I got one better. It's the Philadelphia Eagles. It's the victory parade that we had last month in downtown Philly. I was this close to trying to go. And in the midst of this parade, y'all, everybody's throwing confetti and everybody's, you know, having a blast and music is pumping. You know, I would expect Jesus to come riding on like a gold Rolls Royce chariot. They're throwing a parade for you, bro. Man, ball out. Go get the best, go rent a car. Go get a banging car, parade down the streets of Jerusalem as people are singing your praises. No. That's not what Jesus does. He chooses to come into the city on a donkey. He chooses something that most people would not have chosen, which shows us something as well. That Jesus is not looking for ability. He's looking for availability. Many of us disqualify ourselves because we're like, Pastor, I'm not the most gifted. Pastor, I don't have the most resources. Pastor, I'm not the most talented. I'm not the smartest. Let me help you understand something. God does not call the qualified. He qualifies the call. He don't need a whole lot to do a whole lot. Matter of fact, I heard one of my good friends say this. The only ability that God is looking for is availability. Question is, are you available? Are you making yourself available wherever you find yourself, right? When you go to the grocery store, you get that fried chicken and farm fresh before they shut down? Y'all better hurry up. Not a game around here. Are you making yourself, are you aware that maybe there's something that God wants to do through my life here? I tell you guys plenty of times, every week I'm in Panera, just about every day, just because I love to connect with people. I've met so many people in Panera. I've met so many people who don't know Jesus and have had opportunities to be able to share with them in Panera just by me sitting down with a Bible open, with a MacBook open, with my headphones on, just by me being in place. I had so many different opportunities come as a result of that. I wonder what opportunities God has made available to you, and he's just waiting for you to be available to them. He wants to use you. He says, will you make yourself available. He's looking for people who are willing to tell others about him. He's looking for people who are willing to serve others. He's looking for people who are willing to make themselves available and invite people to church and to invite their co-workers and to invite those family members that you haven't spoken to in a long time. He's looking for people who are willing to make themselves available to transform the community. He says, I don't need ability. I need availability. That's all I need. I don't need a whole lot. I just need some people who are willing to say like Isaiah, send me, Lord, I will go. That's it. That's what he's saying. The question that we got to ask is, am I making myself available? Here's the second thing that we learn about this story. It's not just about availability when it comes to being a bridge. It's also about humility. I love the fact that Jesus chooses the donkey. In verse 7, it says that they brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on and to ride into the city. What's interesting about Jesus riding on the donkey, in another account of this very own story and some of the other gospel accounts, it says that he rode the colt which had never been ridden before. And it's interesting here that the writer would help us understand that, and also that Jesus would ride in on a colt, because a colt or a donkey, one of the characteristics that they had was that they were easily able to be molded to the desires of the one who was riding on their back. You had this sense of humility, which translated into teachability. There's humility. In other words, here's what I'm saying. If you're going to be used by God, you got to be willing to humble yourself to be used by God. You and I have to be willing to let Jesus direct us. Notice when Jesus gets on the donkey, there's no way in this passage of scripture where it says that the donkey all of a sudden started bucking and throwing Jesus off. No. No. Jesus gets on the donkey and he tames it. He controls it. What is this? What does this show us? It shows us that Jesus is meant to be superior in our life. It shows us that Jesus is meant to be the one who's controlling our life, who's directing our life. Much of the frustration that you and I have in life is not because of life itself. It's because we won't let Jesus lead our lives. That's where a whole lot of frustration comes. It's because you don't pray things like, Lord, not my will, let yours be done. No, it's like, Lord, not your will, let mine be done. And then we wonder why the things that happen in our life happen the way that they do. Could it be that we have not humbled ourselves to be used by God, not in a way that we want, but in a way that he wants? In other words, can you let God use you in a way that may not seem comfortable? Can you let God use you in a way that may not seem popular? Can you sacrifice sometimes? Can you go the extra mile? Can you do some things that you said you would never do? Because last time I checked, that's what Jesus did. Y'all remember Jesus himself? Right before he would go to be crucified, the night before, after they had supper, Jesus takes off his robe, he wraps a towel around his waist, he gets on his knees, and he washes the nasty, ugly feet of his 12 disciples, even the one who would betray him. If Jesus was humble enough to do that, surely he calls his followers to be humble as well. There is no place in the body of Christ, and there's no place, especially in the life of a follower of Jesus, for arrogance and pride. They don't go hand in hand. They are polar opposites. I've met so many people who have served in ministry and are so arrogant and so prideful. And I'm like, really? Really? After everything Jesus has done for you, you're going to put limitations on what you can do for Jesus? It really doesn't make sense for Jesus to say, I'm looking for people who are not just available, but I'm looking for people who will be humble. Who are willing to let me do some things in their life that may not be the most comfortable. Here's what James 4 and 6 says, but he gives greater grace. And therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. He resists the proud. In other words, the arrogant mentality, whereas me, myself, and I, God opposes that. But for the person who humbles themselves before God, God gives greater grace and greater grace and greater grace because you have realized that Jesus, I need you, and I'm really not that nice. You are. I'm really not that good. You are. The donkey helps us see that. Because the donkey is in this lowly position being ridden by Jesus. In order for you to be a bridge, to be used by God, to impact and transform this community, it's going to take some humility. In other words, when you're in a grocery store, you may have to humble yourself to go talk to somebody. I know you may not be a people person. I know you may not be able to talk. But if God is speaking to you and is moving on your heart to reach out to that person, please do not turn a blind eye or a deaf ear to it. Please, would you let God work through your life, because that person may be one invite away from their life being changed for all of eternity. Would you let Jesus work in your life? Would you humble yourself so he could use you? Would you become a bridge? When you think about a bridge is something that we notice but we don't notice at the same time. A bridge is something that we just easily cross over, not even thinking about it after we're done, because it's in a lowly position. It's under you. What is humility about? It's bringing my life under the control of Jesus. I hope this is making sense. Because for often what we do is we try to put ourselves above Jesus. And Jesus is saying, would you just humble yourself? Would you just let me use you to reach people, to make a difference in people? Would you be willing to do some things that you would never do? Are you willing to deny yourself? One of the chief characteristics of a follower of Christ, Jesus says this in Luke 9, if you want to follow me, here's what you got to do. Deny yourself. Pick up your cross daily. And follow me. Key words, deny yourself. Tell the person beside you, it's not about you. Now tell them, it's not about me either. It's not. It's all about Jesus, man. It's all about ushering him into his rightful place. It's all about being a bridge so that way other people can come to know Jesus, which leads me to my third and final point. Not only is it about availability and humility, it's also about invisibility. Pastor, why would you say invisibility? Like, where do you see that in the text? You see it all in this text. Look at verses 8 through 11. Here's what it says. It says this: a very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna, which simply means, save us, God, to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." I don't know if you've noticed something here that's hidden, but in plain sight. Jesus goes into Jerusalem. Everybody is singing his praises. But nowhere else in the next few verses is the donkey ever mentioned again. Nowhere else from the time when the disciples got the donkey and put Jesus' clothes on the donkey and Jesus rides the donkey into Jerusalem is the donkey ever mentioned. But we know he's there because he was the only way that got into the city in the first place. What is Jesus trying to tell us about being a bridge and being used by God? It's not about you being seen. It's about Jesus being seen. It's not about you getting the credit. It's not about you getting the glory. It's not about me. It's not about the Bridge Church. It's not even about Freedom Life Church. It's not about any other church. It's about the kingdom of God. It's about Jesus being seen. It's about Jesus being lifted up. It's all about him, y'all. The donkey was invisible, but yet he was there. The donkey, nobody was talking about here. Nobody was saying, "Oh, look at that donkey. He's so pretty. Man, you see the way his hair is combed over?" Nobody's saying that. No. They're talking about Jesus. The donkey, he's here, but he's not the focal point of what's going on. The whole purpose of the donkey in this passage is to do one thing, to prop up Jesus. The whole purpose of your life, I can boil it down to one. I'm going to save you money in counseling is one thing, prop up Jesus. I just save you hours in counseling right there. What's my purpose of life? Lift up Jesus. Pastor, it can't be that simple. It really is. Now, you may have some other stuff they got to go work out, but I just told you your purpose. Lift up Jesus. That's what he's called us to do. He's called us to be a vessel. The donkey is a bridge that's ushering Jesus into the city. The donkey is not the hero, y'all. Jesus is. How foolish would it have been for the donkey all of a sudden to start prancing around down the road? How crazy does this look? He high-stepping in there like this. Really? We ain't come to see you. You are not that nice. You stink. You're ugly. I'm not saying that about you. My point is this. People didn't come to see the donkey. The donkey is not the one who can change us. The donkey is not the one who can bring healing. The donkey is not the one who can open up blinded eyes. The donkey is not the one who can get on a cross and die. No, only Jesus can do that. This is why John says in John 3:30, "I must become less, he must become greater." Some translations say, "I must decrease so that he may increase." In other words, it's not about me, y'all. It's all about Jesus. It's all about him. It's not about for my glory. It's about for Jesus. And so I'm willing to go the extra mile. I'm willing to make the sacrifices so that way Jesus can be seen. Colossians 3:3, Paul is writing to the church in Colossae. He says, "Now that you are in Christ, your life has now been hidden in Christ." In other words, you can't find me. Because when you see me, you don't see me, you see Jesus. That's the whole goal, that our lives are to be spitting images of who Jesus is. So in other words, when people see you on your job, they should see something different about you. They should see the love and the mercy and the grace and the forgiveness of Jesus all over you. How you talk to people, how you treat people, how you treat your boss that you don't like, that you cannot stand. They should see something uniquely different about you. Where they say, "Why do you do this? Why are you so loving and so compassionate? Why do you do these type of things?" Because I've been hidden in Christ, and it's not about me. It's about you coming to know Jesus. Notice what happens here in this passage as well. Jesus, he's entering into the city, and the people are shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna," which means "God, save us." And they're laying palm branches on the ground. And the Bible says that the whole city was stirred. Why was the city stirred? Because of the donkey? Absolutely not. Nobody was getting on Twitter back then. Nobody was getting on Instagram back then. Saying, "Hey, yo, you see that donkey? Man, look, man, get you one of them." And they get on one of them, dog. They hook you up. No. The city was stirred because the King of all Kings was coming into the city. The city was stirred because the one who changes lives was coming in. The city was stirred because the one who sets people free from their bondage, from their sin, from their past, from their present, and even their future sin, he was the one coming into the city. And when Jesus steps in any situation, when he truly is there, it stirs up everything else. Could it be that Jesus wants to use you to be a bridge, to usher his presence into Hampton, into Hampton Roads, and wherever else you're from, because he wants to stir up the city so that people are talking about who he is, so that people are talking about his love, so people are talking about his grace. I believe that Jesus wants to stir this city up so crazy that people are busting out at the seams in churches on Sunday mornings. I believe that Jesus wants to bring forth a revival. I believe that Jesus wants to do something great in this city. And he's just looking for people willing to be a bridge, to make themselves available. Why do we make it all about Jesus? Because only Jesus can set us free. Only Jesus can heal us. Only Jesus can restore relationships. Only Jesus can restore marriages. Only Jesus can do all these things. Only Jesus. It's all about him. It's not about me. But my life, I live to be something that props Jesus up. And let me also help you understand something about what's happening in this passage. It was always God's plan to use the donkey to usher Jesus in. Y'all thought Drake came up with that? Some of y'all like, God's plan, Drake? I don't know, Pastor, I'm lost. Go YouTube it. Before Drake had a plan, God had always had a plan. And he had always planned to use the donkey to usher Jesus into the city of Jerusalem. Well before the donkey was even created, years before the donkey even hit the scene, the donkey had a purpose in God's plan. Go back to verses 4 through 5. Notice what it says here after Jesus tells the disciples to go get the donkey. He says, this took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophets. Say to daughter Zion, see your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. It was always God's plan that Jesus would come riding on a donkey. Riding dirty. Donkeys were dirty. Riding dirty. You get it? No? Didn't work? Corny pastor joke. You didn't get it. Okay, that's fine. It was always God's plan. Always. How does this minister to us? How does this speak to us? Because it was always God's plan that you would have a purpose in his plan. He always had a purpose for you. He tells Jeremiah in Jeremiah 1, before I created you in your mother's womb, I knew you. I had already given you a purpose. I had already had something in particular, something unique that I wanted you to do. I had already set up you being in Hampton on March 25th, 2018, because I wanted to do something great and grand through your life. I had already planned it out. And let me say it like this, that it's only in God's plan that you and I find our purpose. It's only in his plan. You're trying to find out what God is calling you to do. Apart from God's plan, you will always be frustrated. But the minute you begin to align yourself up with God's plan is when you begin to find out his purpose for your life. God's plan is that all of us, myself included, we become bridges so people can know Jesus. So people can experience Jesus. This move that we're getting ready to embark upon, going into our own facility, it's not about the Bridge Church, y'all. It's so more people can know Jesus. The building ain't the goal, y'all. All the times churches make the building the biggest thing. Buildings can get burned down. It's not about the building. It's about the kingdom. It's not about going to 35 South Mill Lake. It's about people coming into the family of God. That's what it's about. So the reason why God allows us to move into a space like this is because he desires to expand his kingdom. It's because he desires for people to come to know his son Jesus intimately. And so people can say, when I came to that building, my life was changed forever. My status with God was changed forever. My relationship in life was changed forever. That's the whole point of this thing. And so people can come to know Jesus. And that's what he wants to do in your life individually. And the question I want to ask us today as we get ready to close in prayer is this. Will you let Jesus use you so he can enter into this city? Will you become a bridge? Will you let God use you like a bridge so more people can know him? One of the biggest things that causes churches to begin to cripple and to stop growing is because people think that the church is for themselves. No, it's not. The church does not exist for you. The church exists so that people who don't know Jesus can come to know Jesus. How do we know that to be true? Because if it wasn't for the church in some capacity, you would not be in a relationship with him. God has called us to be salt and light. He's called us to be a bridge. And the question I want to ask us today is, will you let Jesus use you? Will you let Jesus make a difference in somebody else's life through you? This is why for weeks we've been telling you, man, pray about jumping on a team. Start the growth track. Give. Whatever it is, we want you to be a part of what God wants to do to stir this city up. So people can know Jesus. And it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what your ethnicity is. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are. It doesn't matter how much money. Jesus has a purpose for your life. He wants to use you so other people can come to know him. But it all comes down to this. Will you be a bridge? And there's one thing that I want us to get in our hearts as we prepare to move, and as we prepare to go into where God is calling us to, is that he calls us to be a bridge. We named our church the Bridge Church for one big reason, because Jesus is the bridge. But then for a secondary reason, because he calls us to be bridges. He's allowed us to cross into his family through him. Now he wants to do the same for others through your life. When Jesus ascended to heaven, he told the disciples, I want you to go and make disciples. You know what he was calling them to do? Go build bridges so people can come to know me. Go share your faith. Go invite people to church. It's not about you. It's about what I want to do in the lives of others. I've already redeemed you. I've already sanctified you. And I'm still transforming you day in and day out. But while I'm doing that, I'm sending you out to go be salt and light, to go make a difference. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, I want you to think about what Jesus has done for you. As he's the great bridge. And as he's the one who has brought us from death to life. He is the one that has allowed us to cross from being an orphan spiritually to now being a part of the family of God. And as you're thinking about that, I want you to ask yourself and be honest with yourself in this moment. And really just be transparent and ask yourself this question. Have I really lived my life like a bridge? Have I been intentional with building bridges so people can come to know Christ? Have I lived my life like this donkey, allowing Jesus to use me to usher in his presence into a city, into someone's life? Or have I just been living for myself? A quick way to experience dissatisfaction in your life is to live for yourself. But when you begin to live for Jesus and his purpose, you experience fulfillment. So, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus for all of us, myself included. I pray that you would first forgive us, God, for not living our lives to build bridges. We haven't been intentional always with thinking about others and how they need to come to know you. We've been thinking about ourselves. But this morning, Lord, we make a declaration and a commitment that we're not going to live for ourselves anymore. We want to be available to you. We humble ourselves. And we're not going to take any credit. It's not about us, it's about you. In Jesus' name. While every head is bowed, every eye is still closed. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, you've heard me talk a lot about him and how he wants to use you. But the greatest gift that he wants to give you is life and acceptance into his family. And the awesome thing about it is there's nothing that you have to do to be a part of his family. You just receive it by faith. That's it. So the question I'm going to ask us today and ask you if you're here, do you know Jesus? Have you allowed him to step into your life? Have you allowed him to come into your life? Just like he came into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, have you allowed Jesus to enter into your life? Because I guarantee you, once you do, man, your life will be completely transformed. And he has a place for you at the table. He has a place for you in his family. So if you're here and you're ready to give your life to Christ, you're saying, Pastor, that's me. I don't know Jesus. I'm far from him. I thought it was all about what I did. But it's really all about what he did. But today I want to receive him. If that's you, I want you to say these words after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins on the cross. And I believe that you raised from the grave on the third day so that I could have new life and have it more abundantly. Thank you for accepting me. Thank you for adopting me. And thank you for giving me a purpose to be a bridge so that others may know you. In Jesus' name, And every person said amen. Amen. Come on, let's put our hands together for what God has done for us. Amen. Amen. So, hey, in a moment, we're going to do a few things as we get ready to prepare.